Our first scripture reading for this fifth Sunday in Lent is found in your Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we read verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. Behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And he said it to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we read verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, and we read verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to waken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is taken from the shortest verse of the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. You know, one of the things that God built into humanity is the ability not just to observe what is going on around you, but to become a part of other persons' lives, to feel the things that they feel. It's one of the reasons, for instance, when you yawn really big. Maybe some of you are yawning out there right now. Or when you laugh or go into a room laughing, even if you don't know what the joke is, you start to join in it as well. When people are overcome with sadness and grief, you don't just observe it. You feel it along with them. It's called empathy. That ability to step into the life of someone else and to feel the things that they feel. One of the things the Bible communicates to us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and God Himself, is that He is not just an observer of humanity and the problems and the challenges that we go through. When Isaiah was prophesying about the work of Christ, we read in Isaiah 53:4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." The book of Hebrews, for chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Or from Hebrews 2, verse 17, "Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." God feels what we are going through. He doesn't just observe it. To the person of Jesus Christ, he stepped into our lives. He took on our human flesh. He feels what we're going through. It's kind of interesting where that shortest verse of the Bible, John 11:35, occurs. It's after Jesus has already spoken to Martha. It's after he has proclaimed that he is the resurrection and the life. "Though we die, yet shall we live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." He already had it in mind to go out to the grave of Lazarus and to raise him from the dead. And yet, as he approaches the grave, we hear that shortest verse of Scripture. Jesus wept. He felt the pain of the people, even though he knew that that pain would quickly be turning to rejoicing, because he is a God who doesn't observe what's going on in humanity. He has a plan to fix it. There's a lot of people suffering right now throughout our world, but in one sense, that suffering has always been going on. One of the certainties of life is that it comes to an end. Now, that wasn't the plan of God. He created a perfect world. The problem with the world is not his doing, but ours. It's the result of sin. But God has given us, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a different way of looking at the world and life than those who don't know Jesus Christ. We know through Jesus that a glorious life awaits us, even if we have to pass through death. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." There's a lot of people in our world that are scared right now. But because of the hope that Jesus offers, we don't have to be. The life that he holds out for us is a far better life than the life we have here. In some ways, it's going to be the same. Jesus Christ was raised not just as a spirit, but that human flesh of his also came out of the grave, just as it did with Lazarus when he raised him from the dead. We have a glorious hope of new life with God, and paradise restored. But gone will be certain things from that new life that God has planned for us. Gone will be sin. All the hurtful, all the hateful things that people do in life will not be a part of that new world. There will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. Those things will all pass away. But what will be is life and love and all the other good things that God created when he first made our world, when he first made Adam and Eve. We really don't have anything to fear from what's going on in this world. Life always awaits those who put their faith in Christ. And that is a message we need to communicate to our neighbors, to our friends, to family members. And what's great about that life is we don't have to do anything to obtain it except to put our faith and trust in him who gave it all so that he could give us this precious gift freely by grace. What a wonderful and blessed hope that we have in a world that right now is full of fear and worry over what may come. Jesus wept. He understood what this world is going through. But he also has glorious news for all who are willing to believe what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Believe it. Amen.